Stop for a moment and consider this. Every question about artificial intelligence, consciousness, quantum mechanics, or even the meaning of life traces back to a single ancient inquiry. What does it mean for something to be? In 350 BCE, Aristotle wrestled with this question so thoroughly that physicists, theologians, and philosophers still can't escape his shadow. When Stephen Hawking pondered the universe's origins, he confronted the same puzzles Aristotle laid out millennia ago. This isn't dusty philosophy. It's the operating system underlying how we think about reality itself. Notice how a toddler bombards you with why until you're mentally exhausted? That's not just childish curiosity. It's fundamental to being human. A dog experiences the world through scent and immediate sensation. It doesn't wonder about the chemical composition of its food. But humans can't help themselves. We see patterns, demand explanations, build theories about things we've never touched. This drive follows a clear progression. Raw sensations, the taste of coffee, the warmth of sunlight, accumulate into memories, which cluster into experience. An experienced chef knows certain flavor combinations work without understanding why, but a food scientist grasps the chemical reactions creating those flavors, the Maillard reaction browning meat, acids balancing sweetness. Here's what matters. Wisdom isn't about utility. The mathematician exploring abstract topology isn't building a better bridge. Our greatest breakthroughs emerge not from problem-solving, but from curiosity-driven research into fundamental questions with no immediate application. Early Greek thinkers each glimpsed fragments of truth. Thales declared water the essence of everything, reasonable since all living things need moisture. Others championed air, fire, or earth. They recognized something permanent must underlie our changing world, but couldn't explain change itself. The next generation realized matter alone can't explain transformation. Empedocles introduced friendship and strife, cosmic forces of attraction and repulsion driving all change. The Pythagoreans saw mathematical patterns everywhere, in musical harmonies, planetary motions, even justice itself. Numbers became their fundamental reality. Plato proposed his famous forms, perfect, unchanging templates existing in an abstract realm, with physical objects merely imperfect copies. We do something similar, calling a movie Kafkaesque, referencing ideal types against which we measure particular instances. Aristotle identified four distinct causes: material, what something's made of; formal, its essential structure; efficient, what brought it into being; and final, its purpose. A bronze statue has bronze as material cause, the sculptor's design as formal cause, chisel work as efficient cause, and commemorating a hero as final cause. This framework became philosophy's standard toolkit. What truly exists? Physical objects seem most real. Trees, rocks, your smartphone. But complications emerge. Raw bronze isn't yet a statue. Form without matter seems impossibly abstract. Consider a wooden table. Strip away its color, still a table. Remove its size, still a table. But remove its tableness, its flat surface, structural integrity, and you're left with random planks. The essence is what something fundamentally is, without which it ceases to be that thing. You could lose the ability to play piano while remaining yourself, so being musical isn't your essence. But remove your capacity for rational thought, and whatever remains isn't recognizably you anymore. Here's the crucial insight. The thing and its essence must be identical for knowledge to work. If goodness were separate from good things, we'd need infinite connecting layers. If essence floats free from existence, understanding becomes impossible. This isn't abstract hair splitting. It's about whether we can genuinely know anything at all. Creation involves three elements: the producer, the material, and the final product. A physician healing a patient demonstrates this. The doctor envisions health and works backward. For health, I need normalized body temperature. For that, proper circulation. For that, this medication. The treatment transforms the patient's current state toward the desired form. We never create the underlying matter or abstract form itself. The sculptor doesn't make marble or create sphereness. She brings form into specific matter, making this particular marble sphere. Forms exist only in concrete particulars. There's no universal chairness separate from actual chairs. We recognize patterns across different chairs, but each is a unique combination of matter and form. Some things arise through deliberate creation or spontaneous natural processes. Your body heals through medical intervention or its own systems. But a house requires intentional construction. Bricks won't spontaneously arrange themselves. This depends on whether matter can self-organize into the required form. One profound principle emerges. Actual substance must produce potential substance. Nothing comes from nothing. The seed contains the oak tree potentially, but requires an actual oak tree to produce that seed. The chain of actual to potential grounds all natural generation. Truth is both obvious and elusive. No one grasps it completely, yet humanity collectively accumulates genuine knowledge. We're like blind people examining an elephant. One touches the trunk, another the leg, each perceiving truth, but missing the whole. A reason relates to obvious truths like bat eyes to sunlight. We're simply not built for certain understanding. Yet we should value both allies and critics, because all advance our thinking. Even incorrect theories lead toward better ones, just as ancient astronomy's mistakes eventually yielded modern celestial mechanics. There must be a first principle. Causes cannot regress infinitely. Material causes can't form endless chains. Flesh from earth, earth from air from what? The sequence must terminate. Without ultimate ends, rational action becomes meaningless. The most certain principle is non-contradiction. The same thing cannot simultaneously be and not be in the same respect. This is the bedrock of all thought and language. If human means rational animal, then something human can't simultaneously not be a rational animal. Deny this and substance dissolves, essence vanishes. Everything becomes mere accidents without stable identity. Something eternal must exist. If everything were destructible, nothing would necessarily exist. Movement and time must be eternal. There could be no before without time already existing. Among movements, only circular motion is truly continuous and eternal, as the planets demonstrate through perpetual orbits. But potential for movement isn't enough. There must be something whose essence is pure actuality, activity without any potential for change. This unmoved mover exists necessarily, is perfectly good, and serves as reality's first principle. The heavens and nature depend on it. This being enjoys eternally what we experience only occasionally, pure thought contemplating itself. There's no distinction between nowhere and known in divine consciousness. Thinking and being collapse into one. Divine thought must think of what's most excellent, itself. Thinking on thinking, Aristotle calls it. Self-contained, perfect self-knowledge existing in an eternal now beyond temporal succession. This represents the pinnacle of being, pure actuality, perfect intelligence, complete self-sufficiency. Potency is the capacity for change. Actuality is that capacity realized. A marble block potentially contains countless sculptures, but only one becomes actual through the sculptor's work. Actuality is prior to potentiality in every meaningful sense. Reality emerges as a magnificent structure. Matter and form, potentiality and actuality, all governed by an eternal, unmoved mover whose nature is pure thought thinking itself. When scientists probe quantum superposition, they're wrestling with Aristotelian potentiality. When theologians contemplate divine nature, they're engaging Aristotle's unmoved mover. These aren't dead historical curiosities. They're living questions shaping how we understand everything from artificial intelligence to the meaning of life.